Y'all ready?
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Bishop Daniel Harley, the resident pastor of Christ Our Hope Cathedral, Peter Mansfield, and overseer of the KZN Council of Churches. Bishop Daniel Harley is a son of Bishop Dag Heward Mills, the founder and bishop of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. Bishop Daniel Harley has a strong passion for missions and evangelism and has preached the gospel over many years. Join us now for a life-changing experience.
Of one of us tonight, to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Please sit down. Wow. It's been an exciting past week, is that not so? I believe that God visited us in a unique way. Yeah. God delivered us from curses that are around us, whether we know it or we don't. Do you get it? I mean, one of my bright spots about that was that curses are like load shedding. Whether you like it or not, it is affecting you. Whether you know it or not, it is affecting you. So you have to impose a blessing upon it to neutralize the curse. Amen. And I said, a blessing is like getting a generator. So although there's load shedding, when you turn on your generator, you have light. Do you get it? So your neighbors may be in darkness, but you have light. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And of course, we had Prophet Kakra Baden in a unique, special way. You know, the richness of the teaching, the ministration, everything, the scriptures. I mean, oh, was such a good time. Amen. And I believe that God, through that prophet, which is Prophet Kakra Baden, ushered us into the beginning of a good season. Amen. Amen. Do you get it? A good financial season. Amen. Amen. So I want you to have faith in what was shared with us. Do you get it? And let's work on it. You know, he shared with us three keys. One is, number one was what? What was number one? Your money is not your money. You are a steward. You are a servant of even your money. God has made you a servant of your money. So how well you take care of your money determines how much the master blesses you. Do you get it? From time to time, the master comes to take account. The money I've given to you, how well have you used it? Then, based on that, he will either give or take. Because somebody has to be blessed. And for somebody to be blessed, he will have to take from somebody and give to somebody. Do you get it? So, may you not be the one that it will be taken from. Amen. You see it. So, and then the second key was what? Capacity. Build capacity. Build a skill. Build capacity. For you are paid for your skill, not even for your education. What the skill, the service you provide is what makes people give their money to you. So develop capacity. Amen. And number three, the grace of God. Do you get it? And you buy into the grace of God by giving. When it comes to finances, you buy into the grace of God by giving. Yeah. Amen. So all of you who took envelopes that you are giving, honor it. I know Prophet said by Sunday, but Sunday has passed and we've not done. Do it. Yeah. Don't say, oh, Sunday has passed. Have you heard of the scripture that says better late than never? I've heard it before. It's not in the Bible, but it is true. Do you see? It's not in our forefathers. They thought about things and they realized that it's better to do things late than to never do it. So do it. It's between you and God. Do it and trigger the grace of God upon your life. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Tonight, for just a brief moment, I want to continue what I was sharing with you, how to increase your value. Okay? Tonight may be the final night for it for this season, and then it will come back again, maybe getting to the end of the year. All right? Proverbs 31, verse number 10, is the scripture we are looking for. Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her pride is far above rubies. Amen. So it says, who can find a virtuous woman? There's a type of woman called a virtuous woman. Now, this virtuous woman has a price. And the Bible says that her price is higher than rubies. Okay? There's something that virtuous woman, this is not an ordinary woman. Do you get it? It's a virtuous, a certain type of woman. And the Bible says that she has a high price. Amen. So, two things you can learn from here is, number one, a person's price can be determined. When I say price, I mean value. A person's value can be determined. That in this place, the Bible is talking about the value of a virtuous woman. Okay? Then it says her value is also very high, which means your value can be high as a person. That's why we are looking at how to increase your value. So that if today your value is at maybe level 4, you can take your value to level 7. If your value is at level 7, you can take it to 9. If it's at 8, you can take it to 10. You know, your value can increase. Hallelujah. We go to school to increase our value. Amen. And when I talk about value, I mean your value in everything. Your value at your workplace, your value in your family, your value at church, your value in anything you are doing can increase. Amen. And if you don't pay particular attention to it, your value rather will be decreasing. For instance, if you're a wife and you don't pay particular attention to the things that make your husband happy, your value to your husband may decrease. There are wives whose value to their husbands are decreasing, whilst their value to their children are increasing. It's a different thing. When you're a mother, there's also what makes your value go up. When you're a father, there's also what makes your value go up. When you're a husband, there's also what makes your value go up. Amen. Amen. There are things that you do that makes your boss take interest in you, because they make you become valuable in his sight. There are things you do that makes God take interest in you, because you gain value in his sight. Amen. That's why we are looking at things that we can do that make us valuable. We've looked at 10 of them already. Is that not the case? Ring them up if you have the number. We say your value increases when you can be sent. It means when you can be asked to do something, your value increases. If you can be sent somewhere, your value increases. When your boss cannot ask you to do anything, just know that your time is up. When your boss, let me put it in this other way, when your boss does not ask you to do anything anymore, just know that he's preparing to lay you off. Because it is his job to let you do things. So if he's no longer letting you do anything, it means that you have no value to him anymore. Either the service you are providing is no longer useful to him, or your attitude makes it so that you cannot be sent or asked to do something. Amen. Number two, it says your value increases when you can bring projects to a close, which is when you are given a task or something to do, you complete it. Not that you leave it half and half. You are halfway through. Then you are dilly-dallying, doodling. Within the time frame that the project must be done, the time frame is over, and you are still doodling and daddling over the same thing. Your value goes down. But if you can do it, they give you a project, you complete it immediately, respect comes to you, because this one is a finisher. A lot of people can start things, but very few can finish it. So employers, look out. Who can finish this project? Who can do this project and complete it? Not that start and come with stories at the end. Come with stories how it couldn't be done, how a lion is out in the street moving, how it is very dangerous. I mean, all kinds of stories. If you see, look, I went to see Chapman's Peak. I think 2 weeks ago, you'll be there. I went to see Chapman's Peak in Cape Town about 2 weeks ago. And when I look at the thing, I was just thinking how many people died in trying to cut this road through the rock. How many people lost their lives in trying to cut this road through the rock? So you go around the rocks, around the sea like that. Then it gets to a place. They couldn't go in. So the road is such that part of the road is hanging under the cliff. And you drive under the rock. You drive there by faith. Yeah, you drive under the rock and there's nothing supporting the rock on your right. Yeah, the road has been cut in the rock. But nothing is holding the rock, the one that is on top of you. Nothing is hanging. It's like a roof over your head without walls on the right. Or the only wall is on your left. Yeah. That's what we call Chapman's Peak. Google it and see. But as I was looking at it, I was wondering how many people died. They could have said, look, people are dying, so let's... Even the Table Mountain, if you look at when it was built, you wonder how they got the machines to go up there as high as it is, how they took the machines to go up there. I'm sure people died and this, but they brought it to completion. And that's what makes it unique. But if they had left it halfway, you come, you see a ganda hanging. It is spoiled on halfway. It was going up and it got spoiled. You won't pay money to go and look. Even Chapman's Peak, it's a road though. You pay money to go. Yeah, you pay. Oh, even the traffic on the road tells you how many people have paid at that given time to go look at it. You pay. You don't just drive there. You pay. Sometimes you pay if you are going all the way to the end. Then you can also pay if you are going halfway to return. And there's a security man on the way. They'll be showing that it return. If you get to the security man, he'll show you, then you turn around, then you go back. If you have paid to go all the way through, which is to drive through the peak, then you go. People pay to go. So imagine it wasn't completed. They got halfway and they stopped. It will be a useless. Many of us have useless projects that we are handing in that we have done because you did not finish. You come half of the work done and then the rest of the work is stories that you have brought to your boss. Your boss may not be saying anything, but your value to him is going down as compared to the next person who is completing the project. Amen. Can I get an amen from this side? Amen. Please put the next one there so that we can go for it, because we can easily... Your value increases when you can do assignments with speed. You do things quickly. With speed. Jesus said to Judas, whatsoever thou doest, do it quickly. Even betray me quickly so that we can be over and done with. This thing that I'll betray you today or tomorrow or next week is giving me emotional problems. Just do it quickly so we know we are over and done with it. Next one, your value increases when you can solve different problems. If you can solve different problems at your workplace, which means you can do different things at your workplace, your value goes up. But if you can only, that's Chapman's Peak. You see from where the grass is at where Pastor Priscilla has shown. Those are the things supporting the peak. You drive under that by the rest of it is the rock. Yeah, you need faith to drive there. You see here, the first one, where it has like a fence. You see there's nothing holding it on the right. Yeah, you go and drive there. It's the rock that is hanging there like that. How it is hanging, only the rock knows. Thank you very much. Somebody says, the fence is on the wrong side. Yeah. Pastor P, can you zoom in to the first one? Just next to the fence. Is it Pastor P? Oh, Debbie. Yeah, that's it. You go and, Can you see it? All this is the rock. Well, it's not a building, it's the rock. And the rock is hanging there. If I had seen this picture before, I wouldn't have driven under it. Because I thought the top was all covered. But when you see the first picture Pastor P gave us, it means the top there is just some small. Go back to original. Not Pastor P. Why am I giving the reward to Pastor P? Debbie gave us. Debbie, go back one step to where you were before. You see, the top is not macho. It's not like you say, okay, it's the rock, so the rest of the rock is holding it. It's just this one. And it's over your head. And you have to pass there with faith. Yeah, believe God. Yeah, that you are not going with a code 14 driver who will drive recklessly. Let's go on. Yeah, so these are the things that increase your value. Your value increases when you are good company. Your value increases when you are part of a foundation. It means the founding members. People like Nelson Mandela, Walter Sisulu, Oliver Tambo, Govan Mbeki, Steve Biko, all these people, we'll never forget them. Their value is very high because in the fight for freedom, your dad was not there. Your grandfather was not there. My grandfather was not there. So it is what it is. These are the people who were there. These are the names. These are our heroes. Do you get it? So we'll remember. That's why there's no holiday for my grandfather. But there are holidays for some of these people. That's why not even one building, even a shack in Soweto is named after my grandfather. Not even one. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not even one. I mean, imagine, okay, there's a street in Joburg named after, I don't know who that is, but at least it's close. But I'm saying that. That's why there's no street, anything named after your grandfather, after my grandfather, or anybody. There are places named after, a whole place is named Govan Mbeki. Do you see Nelson Mandela? He has a university, he has a hospital, he has anything, he has a road, anything you can think about, he has one. Every city has something about him. Walter Sisulu, we've named our airport Oliver Tambo Airport, OR Tambo International Airport. Yeah. Even Shaka Zulu, we've named our. No disrespect. I mean Shaka Zulu. I just remember, that's why I say even, like, I just remember that, oh, even there's one here. Okay, not that even Shaka Zulu, please don't get me wrong. I just remember that, why am I even giving an example from far away when there's one just by us? Because there's Zulus, there's no Zulus without Shaka. But where was your grandfather when Shaka was fighting? We even have a holiday for Shaka alone. He was sleeping. Or he ran away. He ran away. So there's no nothing. Who is Harry Gwala? We name a stadium after him. Moses Mabhida. Yeah, these are our heroes. They are founding people. So if you get a chance to be a founder of anything or the beginning of anything, give yourself to it properly. Give yourself to it properly. You are valuable. Don't leave halfway. Or start, become funny halfway along the line. Your value drops. Increase your value by keeping, if you can keep a secret. If you can keep things private. Private. But you know, it's not everything that you should say. Because you know it, you want to be the one who says it. No. Every important person will stay away from you when they know that you can't keep things to yourself. Then your value increases when what? When you can relate with outsiders, and your value increases when you can save the organization money. Number 10 is what? Save money. Okay. Next one. Your value increases when you can work without supervision. You become valuable if you are somebody who can work without supervision. You can work without supervision. Supervising people is one of the most difficult duties to do. Things to do when you have to supervise people, watch them, take reports regularly, check, have you done this? It's very difficult to do. So when there's a boss and he has somebody that, when I give you something to do, I don't have to supervise you. The next thing I will know, or the next time I meet you, the project is done. Immediately your value goes up. That's why in every workplace, those who are supervised are paid less. And those who do the supervision are paid more. Amen. Amen. So should you be supervised for everything you are doing? Must you be supervised at your workplace? They give you one project. Look, Rick, go and do this. Go to this place. Make sure that our business is working. Every 5 minutes, they have to call you, check. Is it going? Have you reached? Have you gone? How many people have come? Who's there? Immediately, your value drops, because we have a saying in Egypt. Remember, part of me comes from Egypt. We have a saying in Egypt that when you send a child, you have sent yourself. When you send a child, you have actually sent yourself. You think you have sent somebody, but you have actually sent yourself, because when the child is going, you basically you have to be doing the thing. You have sent him, go to the office. Then he sees one of the children, I want to go and play. So you have to come and, hey, come, go to the place. Like, by the time you realize, you have even done far more. Or when they go to that, they go and create a problem that is even more difficult to solve than doing the thing. So our forefathers told us, when you send a child, you have sent yourself. Woe betides the one who sends a child, because he has sent himself. A child cannot do anything when they are not being supervised. Coloring, just color. They say color within the lines. You have to come and supervise them to color. You've given them the color. Color red. Color red is bonvu. Color bonvu. Bonvu the whole page. You see, instead of bonvuing, they are playing. They are bonvuing the same spot. The same spot. Then they are bonvuing the table. Meanwhile, you have given them color, just this spot. So you now have to even hold their hands and bonvu it for them. Once you are doing that, the value just goes down. But if you are somebody who can give you something to do, and we don't have to come and chase you, we give you a bar center, we don't have to come and supervise you, micromanage you. Have you prayed? Have you read your Bible? Have you every single minute taking a by the minute account of everything you are doing? Your value goes down. But when it can be left to your hands, in your hands and to your care, or in your care, and you do it, you bring it to a the next thing we see is results. Your value just goes up. Goes up. Goes up. So, Church of God, your boss is watching you when they give you something to do. Do they have to come and hold your hand to do it? If they don't have to, they just place value on you. You are valuable. You are valuable. So the question I want to ask you today, are you supervised? Are you a supervisor, or you are the supervised? Or do you need supervision, or you can do things by yourself? You can do your basanta by yourself. You have been made a campaign director. Will we see the campaign working, or every 5 minutes? Some of you, we did campaign. I saw people do wonderful presentations. Look, after that, do you understand after that? I've not seen anything again. Yeah. After the presentation, campaign died. Look, I'm telling you, presentation 3D, digital with pictures, lines, graphs all over the place. As I watched the thing, I just kept saying, wow, wow, wow. Do you understand? No, wow, wow. That was the last day I saw the campaign. Yeah. That's the last. Hearing and seeing. That's the last. When was the last time we had Message Monday? It died with last year. As though this year there are no Mondays. This year there are no Mondays. No, this year there's at least this year there has not been a Monday yet. Yeah, maybe next week. Easter Monday. Yeah, but there has not been any Monday. We make you a flow admin. Flow admin. Man, we give you a good monitor them, help them. That's it. It's the, your report doesn't even come. You are like a child. And those of you who have to send flow reports, the people who are taking the report, they are losing respect for you. It pains me to be the one to tell you, but they are losing respect for you. They can't tell you because you are a big man or a big woman or in between. So they can't tell you, but they are losing respect for you. I wish I could lie to you, but I'm a preacher, so I'm not allowed to lie. Pastor Zos, they are losing respect for you. When they see you are a pastor, they ask you for your report doesn't come. They are losing respect for you. They are. Not even me. The children who are asking, they are losing respect for you. They have it in the back of this particular big man or big woman. It's a non-compliant big man. You can't even send a report. So send a report by 12 o'clock. Can't even do. That's how they see you. Imagine how your boss sees you. Hey, Pastor, please may ask for me at my workplace. I don't do. Look, Bible says, he that is faithful in little is faithful in much. You can see. It plays out everywhere. Yeah. What's the point again? Supervise and supervise. Supervise and supervise. Come and do dancing stars. Do a dance. Look, dance. Swollen Sunday. Higam. Thanksgiving. It's finished. Unless somebody can say, please, can we say, like, supervise you? Why don't you champion it as something that God has given you to do? Yeah, why don't you? One of the things I'm super impressed about in this is our media. I always say it. I can't even stop saying it. It's our media. From the beginning, when we had our fights and struggles to start, once we managed to start, every day the thing is going, it's even getting better. New things are coming up. It's like people have taken it as something that has been given. Like it's almost like I've been waiting to find what I can do in the church. Finally, I found it. And let me do my best with it. When I'm coming to church, one of the last things I think about is media. Media, like, to worry about, like, media. Where is the memory card? No. I don't even know whether they use a memory card or not. Yeah, without supervision. Your value goes up. Yeah, you supervise yourself. Your value goes. Look, I'm telling you, your boss is watching. When there's a promotion, these things will come to play. That this person, no, you want to make a head of what? No. Head there, then the department is collapsed. Unless we are going to do it with her every single day. Look, the next thing that increases your value is when you have organization and leadership skills. You can take it as a combo. This is free of charge. Like, you can organize people, lead people, get things done. Now, if you are working under, if you have to be supervised to do anything, how can you even be the organizer? How can you organize people? Organizing people means giving people instructions, even reprimanding people. You want to be nice to everybody. You never reprimand people. Sometimes I watch, I say, all of you, nobody wants you. You want me to say so that I look like I'm the bad person. Okay, let's all dance on, let's jolly, and let's all go and let it collapse before us. It includes telling people, look, listen, your attitude is poor. You come too late. It is part of it. It's part of it. And let me tell you something free of charge. Unfortunately for us, in our country, we have been raised to be softies. We have been raised to be softies. So nobody tells us the truth. Everybody, even our parents, tiptoe around us. Because they, as soon as they do, you say you are stressed. What's the other word? Anxiety attack, panic attack, depression. Look, when I was growing up, these words did not exist. No. That you have what? You are stressed. What are you stressed about? You don't pay school fees, you don't pay rent, you don't buy groceries. You don't have the right to stress. Yours is just to write exams and pass. What are you stressing about? How difficult is that? And what's the second? Anxiety, panic attack. Look. My parents, you are overwhelmed. They'll beat it out of you. No, they'll beat that foolishness out of you. They will beat you to become underwhelmed. Yeah. That I'm anxious. What is making you anxious? Let's be serious. What is making you anxious? Yeah, you can't even spell anxiety. You want to be anxious. You don't have a right to be anxious. You see, and we have been raised to be careful. So when somebody tells us the hard truth, then one day I went for a meeting. Before I went for the meeting, one pastor had corrected some people over some things. And when he corrected them, I think it was one person in a group. I don't remember the story quite well because it's Wednesday, should have been on Tuesday. But they were crying. Then I heard about it. Then I called for another meeting. Yeah, I called for another meeting. Then I came. Then I said, listen, let's stop being children. And let's stop playing games. Let me let you know, if you cry without a reason, you have a problem. Yeah, it's like Bible says, laughter worketh like medicine. But if you laugh without a reason, you need medicine. Do you get it? Because you can't just be walking around, your boss is tired there. You need medical help. Do you get it? Although laughter is a type of medicine, if you laugh and there is no reason, that also needs medication. Do you get it? The same way, you can't just start crying for nothing. So I spoke to them. I said, look, it should stop. And it's to be the last time. And as I'm telling them, that anybody who dares to cry in my presence, I will also deal with that crying. Oh, yes. And then I told them, if you go home and you cry, I will come to your house and come and deal with that cry even in your house. You don't want to hear the truth. You have been given something to do. You didn't do it. And then when you are asked, nobody should say, nobody should ask you. Naughty girl, naughty boy. Nobody should ask you, why are the dishes not done? Then you start crying because they ask you, why are the dishes? Shame on you. They say you are stressed, anxious. Rise up and be tough. Look, those who are the top, are the tough guys. How many of you know somebody who is rich, maybe at the back, you have heard that he's wicked, he's tough, he's shrewd? It takes some level of toughness to get to the top. If you don't have it, Mr. Goody Goody, you won't get there. Yeah, next one, since you are all very quiet. Your value increases. Your value increases when you are a loyal person. Oh, this is just a drive-through, don't worry. It's just a drive-through. Your value increases when you are a loyal person. One of the most important qualities of a person is faithfulness. That's why the Bible says that Let every man so account of us as stewards of God and ministers of the mysteries of God. It is required in a man that it is required in stewards, which is servants, that a man be found faithful. That's the primary requirement for anything, faithfulness. A faithful and a loyal person is better than a skilled, disloyal person. It's better than a gifted, disloyal person. An unfaithful, the Bible says, an unfaithful friend is like a broken tooth in the mouth or a knee out of joint. These two things, you need them, but you can't depend on them. You need the knee to be in joint so that you can stand. When it's out of joint, you can't stand. And you need the teeth in your mouth to chew. But it says it's like a broken tooth that is in your mouth. Anything you put in your mouth is broken, so it can't hold it. So your value is greatly determined by your level of faithfulness, your level of loyalty. Yeah, it's greatly determined by it. I think Proverbs 26 says that most men will proclaim their own goodness, but a faithful man, a loyal man, is not easy to find. You can't find somebody who is faithful. It's difficult to find. You are working for an organization. Every 3 minutes, you are threatening to leave. Every 7 minutes, you have applied for here. You have applied. When they realize it, that's why even when you go for an interview, they have a question they ask you. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? It's a test of your faithfulness. They just want to see. In 5 years, why do I ask myself? I'm doing this job, but I think that in 5 years, I'll see myself in Hong Kong. Hong Kong? Hong Kong? Meanwhile, they don't have a branch in Hong Kong. They don't have a branch in Joburg. The whole company is here in Pietermaritzburg. You don't, not even there, but Hong Kong. They said, no, this one is just coming for 3 years and he's gone. Hong Kong. I mean, think about serious Hong Kong. You see, 5 years from now, I'll see myself, I want to go back to school and then I want to do a career switch. Immediately, they know you are not good for them. That's why they ask that question. It's a test question. It's not like they don't have questions to ask. It's that they want to know the fabric, whether you are a faithful person, whether you will stay with everybody, every organization wants people who will be with them to stay with them. Because they are building, anybody they take, they have to retrain the person for that position. So every organization, they don't say, how faithful are you? Yeah, so when they see every 5 minutes, you say, oh, person, can I take that day off? What, sir? I'm going for an interview at Unilever. Hey. Hey. Then the next, well, I'm going to Cadbury. Hey, they look at it and say, you are going to Cadbury. Okay, let's find somebody to replace you. Yeah. Even in the ministry, a loyal and a faithful person is very essential. Somebody will say, I'll do this, and they do it. They don't change their mind halfway through. Like, things become difficult. Imagine you are in a relationship with somebody. Like, I'll marry you. Then 3 years along, then I said, I think that, I don't know, but, I don't know, but I've just been thinking, you know, and I'm not sure whether I should be in a relationship or not, but, because when I look at myself, I realize that I have things I have to deal with, which I have not handled yet. So, but I don't want to. You see, I don't. I've committed myself to you already. So, anyway, you let's go on. Look, after that discussion, every day you'll be looking behind you. Is today the day? So as soon as you get one chance, you check out before they check out on you. Yeah, as soon as they make that statement, they have you on check. So you better get them a checkmate. Yeah? Yeah. You wouldn't want to be in that type of relationship. But you want your boss to have that, you want to have that relationship with your boss where it's like, Charlie, you are 1 foot in, 1 foot out. 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Yeah. 1 foot in, and even your body weight is on the foot that is out. I say your body weight. Do you understand what I when I say your body weight? This is in, this is out. So 1 foot in, 1 foot out. But when your body weight is here, it takes more time. But when your body weight here, you're already leaning. you tip on to that side. Yeah, loyalty. So develop that quality. Whatever you do, you mean you've gone to UKZN 4 year program, 3 years into the program, you say, oh, you don't want to continue. I know so many people who have gone to UKZN that have not continued. 3 years into the course, they don't want to continue. Can I get a nice amen from you? Today I want to give you 5, so no matter what happens, I'll give you 3. Your value increases. Thank you. I'm preaching. Your value increases when you are a contented person. Ecclesiastes 4:6. When you are a contented person, who's a contented person? Somebody who's satisfied with what they have. Contented. You are content with what you says. Better is an handful with quietness than both hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. He said, it's better to have somebody who just has one handful, just a small one, but he's quiet, he's okay, he's cool. All of us want more, but he's not complaining, than somebody who has both hands full, but look, his spirit is vexed. 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 And you know something? Money, no matter how a discontented person, no matter how much money you give him, they will not be happy. You'll be surprised that there are people in the church who are living on less than you have, but they are happier than you. Now, I mean, not less. Maybe you have 20, then they have 19. You have 20, they have 8, but they are happier than you. I said you have 20, they have 8, but they are happier than you. Because many, look, a lot of people are discontented. They are not happy. And our work environment also raises us to be discontented. That's why every time we have a strike, I had an experience with a lady one time. Let me share it with you because I'm almost closing. She got a job, okay? 1 month into the job, they went on a toy. So she told me she's not going to work. So I said, why are you not going to? So we are striking. I said, why are you striking? So they are not giving us this, and then they have to give us 6.8%, 8.6%. So I said, when now? He said, yes, they must give it to us. So I said, sister, calm down. I'm not your boss. Calm down. I'm your pastor. Calm down. I want to ask you a question. I said, pastor, what question? And then she was still moving her shoulders like that. What question? I said, listen, when did you start working? So last month. She had been looking for a job for a long time. Last month. So I said, when you got the job, did they tell you how much they were going to pay you? Say yes. Did you know before you took the job? He said, yes. So I said, did you agree? I said, yes. Did you sign? Say yes. Then I said, so what has changed in that one? Is it that, so I asked, did the month end? Say yes. I asked, did they pay you? He said, yes. Was it the amount you agreed on? Yes. I said, what's your problem? No, pastor, you see, but they are cheating us. I said, since when did they start to cheat you? You. When you saw the pay, you were happy about the pay, and you took the job. 1 month into the job, you are not happy.
So I told them, well, remember, you are on probation. I said, remember, you are on probation. You know, and let me tell you this, for those of you who strike over nothing, let me tell you something. This is just a little start for you. Especially when it has to do with these type of jobs that anybody can do. Do you see? When you go on strike, anywhere, the one that they can call, just call seven people from the street to do. When you go on strike, what they do is that they know. So they give you time. Do you see it? And then they take what we call temps. The temps, they don't pay benefits for them. They don't pay all the perks for them. They just give them their salary and they go, and it's cheaper. Do you get it? Cost to company is cheaper. Do you see? Then your woman, they let you strike. They'll meet you at the table. They give you a ridiculous increase. They know you will not accept it. They will, if they hear that you have, they will withdraw that offer. Because they need you to be on strike for a certain amount of time for them to recoup a certain amount of money which they would have given to you, recoup it by paying the terms. Then they put that, what they have recouped, onto your thing and give it back to you. It's your own salary, they just give back to you. So let's say in the period where you are striking, if they take terms and then they save 20,000 and then there are four of you striking, then they will share that 20,000 upon you over a period of time. That's all. So it's your own money that they didn't pay you, which they put back to you. It's all part of bargaining skills. Well, you didn't go to school, they didn't teach you. I'm surprised. You did a wrong course. You were strike. You were striking when that course was being taught. You are at HR or something like that. No, okay. One day I'll get an HR person to come and explain these things to you. Yeah, they just let you be there. Continue. Then they'll say, let's meet on Friday. Today's Monday. If they really needed you urgently, they would have said, let's meet today or tomorrow. They'll say, the meeting will be on Friday. We are bringing the big bosses. And so you see that, now we are going to win. They should increase the thing. We are going to win 12%. Then when they come, they'll come and offer 2% increase. And they know you won't take it. There's no way you are asking for 12 when they offer you 2. You will take it. No. You have asked for 12 meter, then they come and offer you 2. You won't take it. Then you go. Then they say that the statement they make is that the talks have broken down. Yeah, then we go. So we are there for 1 week. They are counting. They know. Look, they need at least one calendar month to turn over. So then they roll with them. By next Friday, somebody has gone to talk to them. Somebody has come to talk to you. Then they agree to meet. So we are going back to the table. The parties are coming back to the table next Wednesday. Then we come back to the table. You come and make your point. They make their point. They say, okay, we are ready. We have a new offer on the table, 2.5. Then you get angry. Then you walk out. Because it's so ridiculous that you will walk out. Then it's broken for another 10 days. The next one they come, from that time they need you to come back. So then they'll just come and this is our final offer, 6. Then when you look at, you ask for 12, 6, it feels like a victory, then you take it. But that 6 has been gathered by the time you were sitting at home that they were using terms. You are not an engineer, you are not a lawyer, you are not a doctor, you are just doing ping, ping. Pink plastic. Adala de la yo. Pink. Me.
Void.
Void. Cash or cut. May God lift you above these kind of jobs. Do you have capacity for one more so that we can do it? Your value increases when you can learn what is required. When you can learn what is required. Your value increases when you can learn what is required. What do I mean? Every particular job and or every particular task and what is required. Sometimes you have a set of skills, but a particular project you are doing may require a little more computer knowledge. If you are ready to learn it, your value goes up. But if you are not ready to learn it and they have to employ somebody to do that part for you, your value just starts to go down, down, down. You can learn what is required. This thing requires an extra skill. This thing requires an extra understanding, maybe extra research. You will learn. Then your value goes up. How many things have we had to do with media that we didn't know how to do them? We learned the thing as by the minute. Yeah, on the job. Yeah, on the job. We learned them. Yeah, we learned them. Recently, I think there was something about pictures and editing. Then I found out other people who are doing editing. I said, wow, they didn't do editing at high school. So I said, do it. You can't only come and just take pictures. Crack, 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 crack. When my son was the picture taker, he would come to church and take about 500 pictures. Like, you just stand here, crack, 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 take pictures, plenty. Now, when we take the pictures in church, after we've taken the pictures, the next thing is to sort it out. And usually we need about just 40 of them or 50 maximum. So to choose the, and we are using about 3 or 4 cameras. So only you, your camera, you have 500 shots. Somebody should sit down and sort it out and take about 40 from it. Each service, oh, and one shot, you have about 6 of it. You go for a photo shoot and let the cameraman take pictures of you, a poster. Do you see, or a pose? Take 4 pictures of you and send it to you and ask you to choose one. You will see how difficult it is to choose one. Yeah, after we've eliminated the ones that your eyes have closed, the ones that your cheeks are over, you are left with 3. Choose one, the best that you'll be going for. Or let me give you an exercise. When you go, try to delete your pictures on your phone. Delete some pictures. And you will see when you have to choose one. How difficult is it? You'll be just going left, right, left, right, left, just to make a decision of which one to delete and which one to save. You alone, you have taken 500. You are trigger happy. You have taken 500 of them. And somebody should choose 40. Uncle James will be crying the whole night. Just, he has not even started editing. No. Just to choose before we can come to editing. Hey! Oh no. So one day, I said one day, this is my last story. One day he was tired. So he called Mr. 500 PJ and said, come and learn how to edit. I'll teach you how to edit. Learn it. Then he learned how to edit. When he takes up there, so many, he could, look, I could just explain how he couldn't understand. Until he started to edit, then he realized that, hey, look, don't take foolish pictures. When you take one, it's finished. If your eyes are closed, it's up to you. When we need it, we'll draw other eyes onto your eyelids. You use it like that. Yeah. It's easier to draw eyes for you than to choose between 2 good pictures. Yeah. You will see a whole program, big program like Higam. When you go, you see, my guy, he has taken only 40 pictures. Perfect number. Every shot. Look, every poster, he has one shot for one good shot. That's all. Who should go and sit down the whole night, just be going left, right, left, right, left, just to choose 500 times? No, 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 no. He learned how to edit. So when I heard other people learning, I said, it's good. It's good. I like this, your strategy. It's like you are learning what is required. Like, I mean, this is our sound thing. It's forcing the people to learn how to do sound. Learning, force. Learn what is. But when you have to do sound, say, I don't know. I don't know this technology. I don't know this software. I don't know this thing. I don't know anything about this thing. So you won't learn.
Oh, once they have to bring somebody to do that thing for you, your value drops. In a work environment, when they bring somebody, the person has to be paid. So it means one thing they are letting you do is costing us more. Your value goes down. So what is it that is required in the project you are doing? What do you need to learn? Do you need to learn Photoshop? Learn it. Do you need to learn a little engineering? Learn it. Do you need to learn a little computer? Learn. Do you need to learn a little law to add to what you are doing? Learn it. It increases your value. When your boss looks at you, he begins to say, wow, wow, this person is multi-skilled. Sometimes you may need to learn a little administration. Some of you do things you don't keep any record. Yeah. No paper trail. When we can't see. And it involves money. We can't see where the money, there are no receipts. One day I sent somebody to go and do something. Then when the person came, I said, where's the receipt? Started to look among papers that he has cried. I said, listen, it's either the receipt or you bring my money back. I mean, I just want you to know, it's either the receipt or the receipt is as valuable to me as my money. Because one day when I have to account for it before the tax man, you will not be there. So bring the receipt. Come and see him sweating. And I'm sure he has said to himself, oh, but I have the product. I said, I'm not interested in the product. I'm interested in the receipt. You can take the product with you. You can take the product. Just the receipt. If you don't have a receipt, take the product. And bring my money. The taxman doesn't understand the pulpit. Like when you bring the taxman here, so that's the pulpit. Doesn't understand. He needs the receipt for the pulpit. He needs the receipt. No. Bring back the money. Or bring the receipt. It's as simple as that. But some of you, you just munch. Do you know the verb to munch? The verb to munch. You munch, you squeeze the receipt like that. Then you put it in your pocket. Hey! No. Learn how to do a little administration. One day, it will become necessary. Learn it. If the job requires it, learn it. Hallelujah. So I pray for you that with these few words, you will be able to apply these things and lift up your value in the sight of God, in the sight of your supervisors, in the sight of your boss, in the sight of anybody who's taking account of you. You can increase your value before them so that you become somebody who's indispensable. You can't easily be laid off in the name of Jesus. I pray that you receive grace, wisdom, and insight into the word of God to add value to yourself. In the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet. Let's bring this service to a close. Lift your hands. Let's pray. Father, thank you for every hand that is lifted up. We pray. We pray for grace, which is supernatural help. We pray for wisdom, which is the know-how and the ability to get something done. That we will be able to follow these steps, doing things with speed, being sendable. We will have these keys that make a person valuable, Lord, before you and before our supervisors, Lord. In the name of Jesus, help us to apply them in our lives to make our lives better. Help us to work on each and every area, Lord, so that we can improve and add value. That one day somebody will say, our price is far above rubies. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Oh, your value is going up. I said, your value is going up. Well, you may be seated.
Thank you for joining us. We believe you have been blessed by this life-transforming message by Bishop Daniel Harley. For more information, contact us at 204 Peter Kirchhoff Street, Pietermaritzburg, or call 083-773-1605. God richly bless you.